Cape Talk. Call Pippa now on 021-446-0567.
All right, we move to the water. Last week, as I've mentioned, I was on holiday in St. Francis Bay. And just as we were coming out of the surf one day, we heard the news that there had been a shark encounter just a couple of kilometres down the road at Jeffreys Bay. And as a result, the local beaches were closed for a little while they monitored the situation. Thankfully, we soon heard that the surfer involved had been successfully evacuated to a hospital in Klebega. And I was really happy to see his post on a Facebook surfing group I belong to a couple of days later, saying, "Thanks everybody, I'm home and on the mend." What really caught my attention though were the comments he made about the nature of the rescue and the many people who were involved in helping him that day, and particularly the role of an NSRI shark bite kit. So I've asked him to join us today, not just to share his story, but also to expand on what helped save him. And we'll be hearing from the NSRI a bit later about what is in those shark bite kits and how one accesses them. First, though, we say a very warm welcome to Jason Lemmer, who is actually a Komaki local. He's a 40-year-old software developer, happens to be spending the winter months in Jay Bay to make the most of the surfing conditions. Although I'm sure this was not on the plan when you set it in motion. Jason, it's great to have you with us on Cape Talk, and I'm so glad that you're okay. Thank you very much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure. Thanks very much, Pippa.
You're obviously a very keen surfer to have moved to follow the surf for the winter. How long have you actually been surfing, Jason?
Well, about 15 years. So I started relatively late in life. And yeah, my wife and I learned to surf together in Durban, and then shortly thereafter moved to Cape Town and continued to the point where, you know, like we've spend quite a bit of time in Jeffreys every winter now, just because the waves are really good here.
And the water's nice and warm as well, for the record, yeah, compared to Komaki. Yeah. Jason, I mean, any surfer knows you're going into the shark's world. You're moving into their habitat. The possibility of an encounter is always there. But have you ever had any kind of close encounter with a shark before this incident last week?
You know, like a couple of unconfirmed bumps maybe on my board. You know, there's always like tricks playing on your mind when you're out there. Well, at least in my case, you know, you see shadows moving, you suspect certain things. I have confirmed sightings on also just a handful of occasions, but nothing of this nature. You know, they mostly come and go, and that's that. You know, there's not been any like physical altercation yet.
That changed though at the point last week. Can you describe what happened?
Yes. Well, it all started at first light, which, you know, I've done on about 65 occasions already this winter. I always paddle out super early in the morning just to make the most of the uncrowded waves.
Yeah.
A friend of my wife's and mine, Karen, joined me. My wife had just actually injured her knee 2 days before. Otherwise, she would have been out in the water with us too. And we paddled out, met another mate of mine, Pete, out there, and literally within like a minute of paddling out, there looked like there was a wave coming. We were all paddling to like reposition ourselves, and out of nowhere, I just felt this incredible crash, and I was in the water. I had no idea I'd been bitten. I actually thought that it just knocked me off the board, and when I was getting back on my board, I felt the bite marks underneath my board, and then I realized that there were teeth involved, and I'm likely to have been bitten on my back. So I looked over, and I saw my wetsuit was a bit shredded, and said to the other two that, you know, they were looking at me pretty confused. I think they knew what had happened, but, you know, you always need confirmation. And it's dark, you know, we couldn't see anything. It's gray. It was, you know, there wasn't much color in the sky yet. So didn't see much. And I said to them, "We've been bitten. I've been bitten. Let's just stick together and paddle in." And it was quite a surreal experience, because the shark actually then just followed us the whole way.
Oh, my goodness.
To shore. And didn't do anything except just followed us, but like right behind my friend Karen. And yeah, so the three of us paddled together, and I started falling back a little bit. The other two are on longboards, they have more paddle power, and I started falling back, and I just saw the shark next to me the whole time, and it was just like escorting us to the beach. And I said to Pete, at that point I said to him, "Pete, I'm really scared, please can you wait for me?" And he stopped paddling, he waited for me, I caught up, and then the three of us caught this tiny little wave, and it was full tide, high tide, so we just went straight in over the rocks onto the sand, and that was that.
Jason,
yeah, we all
so,
made it.
So you got a good look at the shark. We're close enough to identify the type and the size, or was it all just a blur of being aware it was there with you?
Yeah, I mean, all we saw, interestingly, I actually tried to look for the tail because I wanted to see the size of it. I wanted to see, because we could see the dorsal fin, but I never saw the tail. And I wanted to see the distance between the dorsal fin and the tail to try and figure out the size. I mean, it's a stupid thing to do when you're trying to, like, run for your life, but it was just in my mind. It's something that I needed a scale. And that was it. I didn't see it bite me. All we saw was the fin, and it just followed us. And that was that.
I mean, the way you tell the story, you can hear you guys were all remarkably level-headed, and it sounds like very calm for what you were actually going through, Jason. A lot of people would have panicked, would have lost their minds. It sounds like you guys did a really good job supporting each other to get to the safety of shore. And once you were on the shore, you were incredibly lucky in the response and the help you had from people on scene, weren't you?
Exactly. I mean, at that point, I didn't know the extent of my injuries. I could see I had a big hole in my knee, but I didn't know what was happening on my back. And I felt no pain whatsoever, which is why I didn't know what was going on.
Yeah.
Walked myself up the beach into the parking lot, and my wife was waiting there. She watched the whole thing. She was actually on the beach walking our dog. And so she had seen me kind of getting thrashed around and whatever. And she said to me that she could see it was a pretty serious injury and that her facial expression changed. But I didn't notice it. At that point in time, I just thought, well, I've got to go to the doctor and get patched up. And didn't really want to make too much of a scene because now there's a lot of people there. And ended up in the parking lot in a pool of blood and then lay down, and everyone started doing their best to help me out. I just lay there and waited basically for everyone to tend to me, and various actions were taken until we had some skilled assistance from an NSRI volunteer.
You were incredibly lucky that there just happened to be a member of the Buckhoof and NSRI on the beach that day who came to your assistance, Jason. And I'm going to speak to Craig Lambinon of the NSRI in a moment about the shark bite kit that he used in the process of helping you. But I have to ask, I mean, it must have been incredibly distressing for your wife and incredibly uncertain and disconcerting for everybody on the beach, but particularly for Pete and Karen, who'd been in the water with you. I would imagine it was very traumatic for them as witnesses to this as much as it was for you going through it.
100%. I think actually it's better for me than it is for them because they had to watch the whole thing. I didn't actually know what was going on. And now thinking back in hindsight, you know, I've experienced it where there's a lot of uncertainty for everyone else that just got to watch it, you know, and it's a horrible thing to witness, knowing that they could have been in the water. There were tons of people putting their wetsuits on, getting ready to go out. There were people, other friends of mine were in the process of paddling out, and everyone like screamed at them to get back in. It weighs heavily on everyone else having witnessed that because it's a pretty gory scene, you know, and it certainly traumatizes people to have witnessed something like that.
Yeah.
And I feel like I'm almost obviously getting away with it now. I'm a lucky participant in the whole thing that I got to experience the full, everything. And it's not that bad because I didn't actually feel any pain.
Unbelievable. Jason, I'm going to pause you there, reassuring listeners that help is at hand. Jason is on the beach being attended to and an ambulance is on its way to transport him to hospital in Port Elizabeth. But I want to bring in Craig Lambinon of the NSRI here, because one of the things Jason wrote about on Facebook was the role of that NSRI volunteer and particularly of the shark bite kit that he was able to use to attend to Jason's injuries on the beach. Craig, it's always great to have you on the show. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having us, Pippa.
These shark bite kits are quite widely distributed. I know they're meant to be at every single one of the NSRI stations, and I think they go out on your boats as well, don't they?
Yeah, mostly in the rescue vehicles. But yes, I mean, the boats have got the same type of equipment. And then in Jeffreys Bay and Knysna, we've got them actually stationed on the coastline.
Yeah.
Three in Jeffreys Bay, one in Knysna. And there's a code that you can use. So you phone a telephone number, they give you the lock code, which allows you to open it. Pretty much consists of a stethoscope, a BP cuff, rescue scissors, various types of bandages, tourniquets, cable ties, and it's really to control bleeding.
Yeah.
And the stethoscope and the BP cuff, in case a doctor or a nurse or a first aider is physically there, they can obviously use that. But it's also understandably, with an incident like this, people are calling the NSRI very quickly. It's not only the NSRI who responded to the entire emergency services are activated. We want everybody to have that national emergency telephone number for the NSRI, which is 112. As soon as the NSRI are alerted, we alert all the emergency, all the co-responders to an emergency of this type of an emergency. And it's very fast and very quick. I was very lucky to have Russell from NSRI back over, and that he was about to go surfing and a friend had called him and said, "Hey, guy, you better come here quickly. There's been a shark encounter, a shark bite." And he was able to get there quickly. And obviously he knows the procedure with those shark kits. So he was able to very quickly open it and start using the sterile pads and bandages and so forth.
Yeah. I mean, Craig, Jason was so lucky in so many respects in terms of the response and the help that was available to him with a lot of speed. Those boxes, I mean, I'm aware of the one at Buffalo Bay near Nice, and it's been there for many years, and I've never sort of even thought about how to access it and what to do with it. That code that you have to enter to open it, I assume, is there to prevent vandalism and theft of the items.
Yeah, so it's not the same kind of thing that we can do with those pink rescue boys, which we really rely on the public to look after those.
Yeah.
But you can't really lock those away. But these kits, they would be definitely, there would be vandalism if they were just simply open and available. And so there is a telephone number on the box. You phone that number, they give you the code to unlock the combination lock, and then that can be used. And like I say, it's normally a first aider, a doctor or a nurse who might happen to be there, or any member of the public can start using that equipment. Understandably, once it's used, the NSRI volunteers in that area will then go and restock the box and put it away again. So there's three that are accessible to the public in Jeffreys Bay along that coastline, Super Tubes, Upper Point, Lower Point, and at Kabalyos, there's also one. And then obviously every sea rescue station has. And it's really, if you think about it, every medical responder or any ambulance has the same type of equipment on board. And so it's really just about getting help to the casualty as fast as possible.
Craig, before we let you go, what strikes me, particularly listening to Jason's description of this event, is how calm everybody stayed, how level-headed everybody was, and the sort of level of reassurance that he was given on the beach. I'm sure you'd like to comment on the importance of not panicking in a situation like this.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that partly helped to have Russell there so quickly. Because, you know, people kind of tend to stand around not really sure what to do. But a calm and activate the NSRI emergency number as fast as possible so that the response, so the full might of the response can be made. Like I say, when NSRI activated to an incident like this, we contact the entire emergency services that are co-responders to an incident like this.
Craig Lambanon of the NSRI, thank you so much for your contribution. We'll come back to Jason for just a tie-up and hear the final details of the story.
Lunch with Pippa Hudson
on Cape Talk.
Join the conversation.
We're back with Jason Lammas, who is a Komaki local, but who's spending the winter months in Jeffreys Bay with his wife because he loves to surf and take advantage of the beautiful waves there and the warm water conditions at this time of year. Unfortunately, last week he had an encounter with a shark during one of his surfing outings at the point in Jeffreys Bay. And before the break, Jason explained to us what happened and recognized the role of an NSRI volunteer, Russell, who came to his support on the beach, as well as the role of the NSRI shark bite kit. And for those who are already asking how to support the shark bite kit thing, you make a contribution to the NSRI, as simple as that. They do such amazing work on so many levels. If you feel strongly that this is something you would like to support, maybe you are a fellow surfer who likes to know that those boxes are there should you need them one day, the simplest thing to do is to make a contribution to the NSRI. I've got Jason with us on the line still. Jason, when we left you, you were on the beach receiving very good first aid and awaiting the arrival of an ambulance, which then got there and took you off to hospital in PE. When you finally got there and got a doctor's assessment of your injuries, what did they tell you? What had actually happened?
So I had, the only injury that I actually knew that was serious was my knee. But on my back, there was actually quite substantial cuts. So the shark didn't actually get to bite down properly on me. It's just the force that it hit me actually, I think, kind of shot me out the front of the mouth, and its teeth just raked across my back. So it left about 8 or 9, like, pretty deep gashes from just below my ribs to down bottom of my buttocks.
Wow.
And so, I mean, I lost a lot of blood. And first thing that they said to me was they did an ultrasound to check internal organs, check if there's any bleeding internally. And they didn't find anything on the ultrasound. So they said, well, if when they start stitching me up, they do find anything, obviously they're going to have to operate internally and to clear everything up. But that wasn't the case. I got really lucky, just flesh wounds, and didn't lose anything, just some really bad cuts. And then they put me under general anesthetic and got to business and stitched me up.
And you're already home and on the road to recovery as we speak. What's the prognosis? How long do you think it's going to be before you're back on your feet and perhaps back on your surfboard?
So, you know, the stitches come out on Monday, and then I have a final checkup with the surgeons 2 days later on the 28th of July. Physio appointment to check out my knee and, you know, knee function, but, you know, there's no ligaments or tendons that were damaged, so I should have full recovery of the knee. It's just very swollen and stiff, and I've got a lot of bruising, and actually my pelvis also sustained a bit of a crack to it, so like a hairline fracture, obviously from the impact. And, you know, it's just a case of getting that leg function back, which doesn't seem like it's taking very long, to be honest. And I think, personally, you know, once the only reason the doctors are telling me not to go back in is just because my wounds have not healed properly, but they're healing really well. I've done a few wound dressing changes already, and it's looking good. I reckon I'll be back in within 3 weeks to a month.
Fantastic. And I'm so glad to hear you saying, I will be back in the water. It hasn't changed the way you view the sport you love so much.
Look, I say that now because I'm on land. I think when the first time I paddle out, I might have a change of heart. But, you know, from where I am, I can see people surfing the point. I can see people surfing super tubes all day, every day. They're having the time of their lives. And there's no reason that I'm like now a marked man. I should be able to go and do the same thing. Just need to be logical with that thought process and, you know, just take it slowly, I guess. I'm not going to be going out at first light anymore. Let's put it that way. I'm going to wait for the sun.
Okay. Jason, two more things. Firstly, the damage to your board. I saw the photographs. There's some tooth-shaped marks at the side of the board. Is it terminal damage, or will you carry on surfing that board?
That board's going to be a wall piece. I'm going to hang it up, and I'm leaving that as is, and it'll just be a reminder of what happened. No desire to fix that one up again.
Okay, the one nice thing I did notice is that Derevco wetsuits spotted the fact that the one that got shredded that you were wearing was one of theirs. I believe they've offered to sort you out with a replacement suit free of charge.
Yes, they did. I mean, that was like the very first comment on on my post letting everyone know that I was okay on Facebook was from Derevco wetsuits, and they said they'll want to hook me up with a free suit as soon as I'm back in Cape Town. So, you know, that's an epic gesture from them. My suit was really cut to smithereens, and then to get me out of it, obviously it was completely dismantled.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm very grateful that they've offered to replace my wetsuit so I can carry on doing this.
Very cool gesture on their part. Well done, guys. Final question to you, Jason. Anything else you'd like to say? I'm sure you'd like to say something to the members of the public who helped you that day.
Well, yeah, I mean, look, there's so many people that played a role in helping me out. I had a lot of friends there. There were a lot of strangers. My wife didn't have her cell phone on her, so the person that actually started calling NSRI and emergency services and all that, I think her name is Abby. Obviously, Russell, who just, I mean, I had no idea who he was. I was just lying there, not in pain, but like losing a lot of blood. And suddenly there was just this guy that showed up that knew exactly what he was doing. And it was just incredible because everyone was doing their best, but this is not what people, general members of the public, train for. And to have Russell come in there and just totally took control before the paramedics came in to, you know, put that shark bite kit to good use. It was very reassuring. And, you know, the paramedic then thereafter, it was in a scary circumstances. It was actually a very calming environment. I thought there was no problem. You know, it was always all under control, and I was just going to go and get stitched up and I didn't realize the severity of everything because everyone was so calm about it the whole time. Obviously, they were probably quite shocked because they could see what was going on, but no one freaked out, and that was very reassuring for me.
Well, Jason, I'm so glad it's a story that has a happy ending for everybody involved. Thank you so much for coming on air to share the details with us today, because I think particularly the comments you've made about knowing that the shark bite kits are there and available to be used in a situation like that is such an important message to spread. So thank you very much for joining us, and I hope to see you in the waves sometime.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Jason Lummis on the line to us from Jeffreys Bay, although he is in summer months a resident of Cormackee. So I just think a really positive story about knowing that that life-saving equipment is there, knowing how to access it if you are in a situation of an emergency like the one Jason encountered. And thank you to the NSRI for making sure that those kits are available to our surfers and, of course, anyone else who needs them. Propeller injuries, etc., also can also make use of those kits. So just remind yourself, if you are a regular ocean user, to know where they are, to know that inside are those compression bandages, the stethoscope, etc., the dressings that can be used to make life-saving interventions on the site of the emergency. And our best wishes for a full recovery to Jason Lummis.